Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to read with me. We'll read verse 1 and 2. But read in verse 2 a very common expression that we use. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father. Now we use that expression, God our Father, so regularly. And many of us use that expression or something similar even before we got saved. If you were raised in some religion like I was raised, it was common to pray the prayer that Jesus Christ taught his disciples. Our Father which art in heaven. Our Father. And so a lot of times we read that expression, but we don't really think about what it implies because it's just so common. And tonight when we were praying together and Robert was leading us in prayer, several times during the prayer, he addressed God as Father or our Father. And that's the right expression, but there are implications to being able to call God our Father. Those words mean something. They're not like just his title, the Lord Jesus Christ. That means something. Christ means something. Lord means something. Those are significant appellations. So do you ever think about what those implications are? Do you ever consider when you say, God, our Father, what that means about your position and his position and how we relate? I can remember distinctly as a child, because I said that, rosary, for instance, many, many times, and I'll grant you that we said many more Hail Marys than we said our fathers, but I said a lot of our fathers too. That there came a day when I recognized that that there was a distance. There was a distance. I was here and God was up there. Our Father which art in heaven. Right? I'm here, he's there. Many times we'll pray and we'll say, Heavenly Father, we're here, he's up there. And so it's, I think it's beneficial, particularly since we're talking about Father's Day, and we addressed some things that were helpful for us that are fathers today, to talk about God, our Father, and consider some of the things that are very significant in that three-word statement, God, our Father. When we refer to God as God, our Father, we speak first of all of, and just like this morning, every word began with C. It was alliterated, so it was easy to follow. These are all going to begin with R. Sometimes people say, well, what was the third point? Get the R word and you'll know. When we refer to God as God, our Father, we speak of, first of all, relationship. Relationship. Father. That's relationship. That's not God as a being and us as humans and such great difference. That is father-son. That is father-daughter. That is a relationship. That is a relationship. And that is what really struck me the first time that I heard a person who did have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ speak of his relationship. That's what stirred my heart, that there was something different about religion and relationship. Oftentimes when we're talking to people about their souls and they talk about, well, I was raised this, that, or the other type of religion, we'll say we're not here to discuss the difference between a Baptist religion and whatever religion you are. We're here to talk about relationship. Relationship. He is literally our Father. Our Father. Now, fatherhood has its own implication. All right, so tonight I have a child in the congregation with us. I am her father. You know what it implies? Birth, right? The relationship is established by birth. And so my relationship with her as daughter is equivalent to we have three other children who are not here, but that's a unique relationship. It's not like any relationship that I have with anybody else. I received a text today from a pastor friend of mine, and he says, I have a dad, but your relationship with me is like a father, and I just wanted to wish you Happy Father's Day. That was very kind. And you know what? And we do have a close relationship, but I'm really not his father. He has one. So that's a unique relationship. So when we're able to talk about God our Father, there is a uniqueness in that relationship that we have. We are literally his children, and we are his children by birth. We're born again. And that's a tremendous thing. And you know, that really clarifies. I think everybody here probably knows this, but it's important for us to say it in case you don't, or in case somebody hears this who's not here now. We are not all born as children of God. Many times, if you're dealing with souls about Christ, about getting saved, you know, many times they will say, well, God, we're all God's children. No, you're not all God's children. No, we're Adam's children. We're Eve's children. But we're not all God's children. Not until we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Right? So this is really, it involves this birth, this being born again. Only those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior can truly call Him our Father. Our Father. And He, obviously, can be able to speak to us about being His children. Can you imagine that? Being a child of God. I mean, we sing about that in our hymn book, but I'm not sure that we always think about what that really means. The person who made all of this literally is our Father, and we are His child. You know, in the relationship that we have humanly with parents, there's a closeness in that generally. I realize not all families have close relationships, but generally speaking, there is or should be a closeness in those relationships. Imagine having that closeness with God Almighty. I was talking to somebody this week, concerned about her soul. Somebody I've known a good while. She's in her 60s. And I ended up praying. I was determined that we were going to have a conversation about her soul. And when we did have that opportunity, she said this. For years, I knew of God, but I did not know God. I knew there was a God. I went to church and we talked about God. We heard readings from the Bible about God, but I had no relationship with God. And then she spoke about her testimony of coming to know Jesus Christ as her Savior and coming into that relationship. She said, I'm going to tell you something with a big beaming smile on her face. She said, man, there's a lot of difference between knowing about God and knowing God. It was a life-changing experience for her. It was a life-changing experience for us. Imagine, we don't say it this way, But imagine calling him dad. I mean, there's that type of closeness in the relationship that we have with the Lord. And the neat thing about it is we keep this relationship with him how long? Forever. Forever. Has God always been a good father? Have you always been a good child? And you know what? But that didn't change him. He's always been a good father, even when we weren't a good child. And he's always been there for us. And he said he would always be there for us. And the neat thing about it is, I've been addressing God in heaven and us down here. Do you understand God's with us today? We're here, and our Lord is here. Our Father is among us. We are with Him and He is with us. That's relationship. Now, if you have a good relationship, if your father's still alive and you have a good relationship with your father, or thinking back, if your father wasn't, before your father passed, you know, if you had a good relationship, and hopefully most of us did, there was never a time, night or day, that you couldn't pick up the phone and give him a call. Night or day. And there is never a time, night or day, that you can't get on your knees and address God, your Father, and have undivided attention. That's an amazing thing about our relationship with the Lord. When you are in prayer, if we're not all together, you're at home and you're in prayer with the Lord, it's just like you and He are the only two that matter. Now, oftentimes you're interceding for other people, and they matter. It's like you have Him all to yourself, like you have a private audience and nobody else is interfering. That's a tremendous father. Fathers have a tendency, it seems, to pick their favorites. But God seems to have all of His children as His favorites. And even when you've been bad and you come and get in the right relationship with Him, everything just seems... Why would, with a father like that, why would we not want to live right with God? What a tremendous Father. So first of all, when we speak of God, our Father, we're speaking of relationship. But we're also speaking of something else. God, our Father, implies responsibility, right? The responsibility in this sense, He is the Father, we are the children. He calls the shots. Like we said this morning, Dad's command. We have a responsibility because we are under His authority. And there's so many things that are challenging authority today that you even get a sense that in Christianity, there are people who are challenging the authority. They almost treat God like He's our errand boy and get mad if He doesn't. You know, you rub the genie bottle and He doesn't give you the wish. You get mad at God about that. That's not like that. God is your Father. He is my Father. We are the children. We are here to do His will. He's not here to do our will. And that's the way it is at home. And so God, our Father, implies responsibility. I love that passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When He saved us, when we became His children, He takes on a guiding, protecting, providing relationship like a father does. Whenever we do discipleship lessons, and there's 16 booklets that were printed back in 1999, copyrighted by Kansas City Baptist Temple, but they're good. They're a good skeleton for providing guidance through a discipleship lesson. That first lesson on salvation shows you what happened to you when you got saved. And it shows you that you went from being a child of a devil to being child of God, and it put you in a relationship with Him as father and son or father and daughter. And as a good father chastens and provides and protects, you know, and loves and cares for, He does those things. But they also come with a responsibility. He has something that He wants to do in you. And the neat thing about it is, while it benefits Him, because that's a will that He has in your life as His child, it's good for you. As parents, when we made certain decisions about our children's education, certain rules that we had about things they could do and couldn't do, that probably felt very restricting to them. That probably feels very restricting to y'all, kids that are here. But you know what? Your parents have your best interest at heart in those decisions they've made for you, because they have a will for you that really is in your best interest. May not feel like it, but it is. And that's the way it is with God. And so He has a will that He wants to work out for for his own pleasure. Well, I would say that his will for me then would be to pastor, and this is for his pleasure. But may I tell you something? It has its ups and downs. It has its challenges. But I love what I do. And I love the people that I get to do this with. Do you understand? There's not anything that I would rather do than what I'm doing. How did God work that out so that this is his will and yet it's the thing that I wanted to do? I suppose because a good dad knows that about his kids. And that's what he's done. But there's a responsibility here. I have to do this. Right? I would say I get to do this. But still it's a responsibility. It's still a responsibility. And so what he does, what God does as our Father, he gives us his word. He gives us his power. He gives us his grace. He gives us his love. He gives us his direction. He gives us his spirit so that we can accomplish those things that he wants us to do. That's a good deal because we don't depend upon our own resources to make this happen. He provides. That comes with the birth. It's kind of like a birthright, if you will. So here's the thing to do then. If you have a benevolent Father, God, our Father, who has a will that works for his own good pleasure, but it's in your best interest, then wouldn't it be wise to check with him about everything you do, including the minor things, so that you make sure that you're in his will while you're doing those? You know, I'll tell you what, the longer that I've lived as a Christian and the longer that I've been in the ministry as a pastor, I find that I am incapable of knowing what's good for me in every area and capacity of my life. And I have found that getting on my knees and talking every detail over with the Lord really is a tremendous experience because he knows and he's willing to tell. And the neat thing about it is if there's anything that seems to interrupt that relationship and you ask him, he'll tell you, like a good dad would, what's going on between you that seems to be affecting the relationship. So the responsibility is simply this. As Father, we have a relationship. But in responsibility, we have an obligation to always follow his will. We really do. And nobody else in life should have that call on our lives. We do his will. Gladly. Because we have a good relationship. You know, people that don't have a good relationship, you're saved, but people don't have a good relationship with the Lord, it's hard for them to carry out the responsibility because there always seems to be a tug of war, my way or your way. And when there's a good relationship and there's humility to that authority in your life, it's God's way because it always works best. Always. All right, so God our Father implies relationship. It implies responsibility. And God our Father also implies reverence. Reverence. This is not just our Father. This is God, our Father. This is, you know, there are people that I grew up with in my neighborhood and they would talk about mom and dad. And I can remember the guy comes to mind right now and I can even remember incidents where he would say it. Yeah, my old man, this and that. Talking about his dad. Now, that was a statement of pride. That's my old man over there. Yeah. He even called his mother that old lady one time. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, there's no respect in that. That's Rodney Dangerfield all over again for you guys that have been around for the ancient. Like I said, I got to go to work on my illustrations, but I don't surf YouTube to know who it is today that's complaining like he did back then. Reverence, God, our Father. That's God, our Father. And he is worthy of our praise, of our honor, of our respect, of our fear. The beautiful thing about having that reverence for God, and you get that combination of this great love in the relationship and this great fear in the reverence, you have a fantastic relationship understanding of your relationship with the Lord. I'll ask this question. You'll see what I'm talking about. How many of you had a dad you loved? Raise your hand. There you go. You can look around the room. There are lots of folks. I don't mean to suggest they're all in the past tense. And how many of you had or have that same dad that you feared? You see all those hands? That's a beautiful relationship. It's both. It's both. And so he is worthy of our fear. I've learned this about the fear of God. If you fear him totally, like he said, fear me, walk with me, love me, serve me, obey me. Other things that scare you don't scare you, because you're always going to respond to the greatest fear. And if you fear him with the type of fear that you read about in the Bible, other things aren't going to scare you. Not like that. And that's a good thing. If you have trouble with that fear of some other things, just get closer to God. Just get closer to God. He is the true God. We hold him in high esteem. People will talk to you, as we had a conversation yesterday, and the lady said, yeah, but all religions are going to the same place. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't even know what you just said. They do all go to the same place, but it's not where you're thinking. But what that says is that Buddha and God are the same, or that the prophet for Mormons and God are the same, or that the Watchtower Society and their understanding of Jehovah and God Almighty are the same, and they're not the same. God Almighty is worthy of all fear, honor, and esteem. We reverence. That's God our Father. That's God our Father. You know, we should have. And I realize it's difficult because you don't want to be the one to call people out when they do something. But we ought to have the type of relationship and responsibility as a child of God and reverence for our Father when we hear somebody else take his name in vain, that at the least we're offended. And at a greater still, to turn and say, wait a minute, don't say that. You are talking about my Father and you are talking about God Almighty. Don't talk about him that way. And I realize some of us, that's a courageous step. But hey, that's reverence. That's your Father. And that's God. He is the true God. He is the Creator. There would be nothing of all this here if it not been for him. There's nobody like him. Not even in imagination. But certainly not in fact. And so when we have the opportunity to come here and praise the Lord, wow, we should really lift up our voices to him. That's God. That's God. And you know, we should not be ashamed. I realize the world out there doesn't like, but they don't have the relationship with him that we have. He's not their Father. And they don't understand. The natural man does not understand what we have in the way of salvation. Spiritual man does, but not a natural man. They can't appreciate this. So it shouldn't surprise you if you're talking to somebody about Jesus Christ that they look at you a little cross-eyed. Or you talk about God as your Father, that they really have a hard time sort of figuring that out. But we shouldn't be ashamed to tell them. Because you don't know who of those out there who right now consider the preaching of the cross foolishness would hear that and be by the Spirit of God and belief in the Word of God come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be the ones to make that decision for them. We should be the one to preach the gospel and then let them, God, sort it out. Right? But we shouldn't be ashamed of him. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm kind of Christian. What? What a privilege to be counted among those who are Christians. We are the children of God, the Creator of the universe, the Savior of men, the only true God. There's none other. You know, we should honor him by standing up for him. People say, "Oh, I just don't believe there's a God." Let me tell you something. Not only do I believe there is a God, I know there is a God. I know him personally, and he and I have been talking. As a matter of fact, we've been talking about you. Truly. Does it not impress you to the point of absolute humility to think that that God, Almighty, answers your smallest requests? I told you, I just want to mention it again, but put it in this perspective, that it used to perturb me whenever, not here, but when we do Wednesday night prayer requests and we'd say, anybody want to praise the Lord? And, you know, people were mentioning small things. I'm like, God's a big God and he does great big miracles. Can't you think of anything bigger than that to say? What a dodo. And one day the Lord really did just reprove me. I get involved in those little things. It is appropriate to praise me for that. Those things may be little to you and maybe they don't matter to you, but they matter to me and they matter to those that I help. And it floors me literally that God would get involved in those little details of our lives. But that's what dads do for their children. And that's what he does for us. So, man, you got a God like that that protects you and provides for you and has changed your life to the extent that he has. Why in the world wouldn't you want to stand up for him in this world that doesn't like him? This is a world that hates God. You don't hate God. You say, well, if I stand up for him, they're going to hate me. Well, whose side are you on? The Lord said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Well, okay, then I want you to know where I stand anyway. I'm on his side. And I suggest you come over here on our side, because being a child of God is a whole lot better than being an enemy of God. Whosoever be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's not a good place to be. So God our Father speaks of relationship. Isn't it wonderful to have that relationship with him? God our Father speaks of responsibility. He's the Father. We're the children. God our Father speaks of reverence. The creator of the universe. That's my dad. You know, there are people that are witnessed before on airplanes. And what do you do for a living? And they go through, well, I'm the CEO of a large multinational company, blah, blah, blah. People like, you know, if they are, they like to tell you they are, you know. Right? And what are you? Oh, so, well, my dad, very wealthy. He owns an airline. Really? Yeah. Matter of fact, he owns this airline. Really? Yeah. Matter of fact, he owns this plane. No, you're kidding. No. Matter of fact, he owns all the planes and all the cattle, all the ranches. Who is your dad? God Almighty. He's bigger than your dad. You know, and those are people that are just walking in close relationship with the Lord. I love that passage that I've taught you before from Deuteronomy chapter 10, the five things that the Lord questioned before Israel that they were supposed to do. Fear God, walk with God, love God, serve God, and obey God. Do you know in that little five things that we should do all the time, the second one is walk with God. Do you understand? He doesn't walk with us. We're to walk with him. He will walk with you because he's not going to leave you. But how much better for you to walk with him? Noah walked with God. The Bible didn't say God walked with Noah, right? Enoch walked with God. Let's go where you're going. He didn't make God walk with him. And so I love that. If I've got this reverence and this responsibility and this relationship with God Almighty, just tell me where you're going. I want to walk with you. Puts a whole different perspective on it. But that relationship that we have with God our Father, responsibility, reverence, and one more thing, reputation. That's God our Father we're talking about. In other words, There is something of the closeness of your relationship with him that you don't want to do something that brings reproach to his name. Oh, you're his child. Well, I didn't think his child should act like that. I didn't think his child should do that. What kind of God is that that you have that has children that do what you do and say what you see what I'm saying? There's a reputation involved. Once we say, God, our Father, we are identifying that we do have that relationship with him, then we ought to act like his children. And I don't mean act like you put it on. We ought to behave. I think that's the right. We ought to behave like his children. And there are a lot of Christians who name the name of Christ, and they don't behave like his children. And that's not a judgmental thing. It's just that, why would you make God look like that by the way that you behave? God is up here, big. We don't want to do anything or say anything that brings reproach to the name of Christ or to the name of his children. And what do you mean by that? Well, there are times when we've done personal work where people have said, I'm never going to set foot in the church again. Why? Because so-and-so did this, or the church did that, or the preacher did this. And what's happened is that's brought reproach to the name of Christ and to the name of being a child of God. And people have said, I don't want anything to do with that. We should not do that. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. You always want people to know that's the place to go, to God. And that there's nothing in our relationship that would minimize his greatness. There's nothing in our relationship that would cause you, when you're looking for help, to not want to go there. If the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous runneth into it and is safe, then we want other people who don't know that to run that way whenever they get in trouble. I ran that way when I got in trouble. And I'm glad that I did. We had a visit recently with a fellow, and that's his story. He grew up in church, but he got away from the Lord. And when the car ran far enough off the road, he knew where to turn. And there was a bitterness there toward the church, but he knew where to turn. He didn't hold that against God, thank the Lord. I can remember years ago, there was a fishing guide that worked out of Aransas Pass area. Some of you may have known back then. He had a big reputation for catching a lot of trout. His name was Jackie Pace. Yeah, you heard of him, yeah. And so I had the opportunity one time to fish with him. We were just visiting. And so I had another friend of mine, and we started witnessing to him. And, hey, Jackie, did you ever get saved? By this time, he was getting close to his retirement, gray hair and all that. Say, Jackie, did you ever get saved? He said, I sure did. And he told us when he received Jesus Christ as his Savior, and we're catching fish over here. And he said, you see that spot right over there? And he pointed it out along the shoreline there. He said, you see that spot right there? I said, yes, sir, I sure do. He said, that's where I got baptized after I got saved. And I said, well, that is just tremendous. And so he had a good testimony. He said, I'm going to tell you one thing, though, that I find very disgusting. And I said, what's that? He said, I have some folks that have fished with me. Now, this is to show you how it goes. He said, I have two priests that have fished with me. Okay? So when you think priest, we had a lot of people that were raised Catholic. We had a lot of Catholics in our city. You think Catholic priest, you're thinking sort of like this is a person that ought to be, right, careful about reputation. He said, I got these two priests that have fished with me. And he looked at me and he said, I want to tell you something. I have never heard any two people on my boat speak more filth out of their mouth than those two men. It's a good thing Jackie was already saved. Because if he hadn't been saved, that would have been a good reason to not want to get saved. If that's the way people who name the name of Christ talk. You understand that? We shouldn't be guilty of anything like that either. We have to be very, very careful that as soon as we step out there and we tell people, you know what? I'm a child of God. Okay, then. You sort of put yourself out there. You didn't do it because you wanted them to look at you. You did that because you wanted them to look at God. That's what he said. That you know, do those works before men that they may glorify your Father. He said that to Israel, of course, I understand. But that happens to us as well. So what we do at all times should bring God glory. Right? Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You ought to be very careful about what you say and what you talk about. And when I say that, what I mean to say is that it can be very easy for us to give a mixed signal. Oh, you're a child of God, but then why do you talk about that? You're a child of God, but why do you say that? I didn't think if somebody was a child of God that they should be saying that. We have to be somewhat careful about the conscience of others who don't know God. Because as they say, there's a little bit of truth in it. You may be the only Bible that they read or have read. And there ought to be something of a reputation that a child of God in an employment situation is the kind of guy or woman that you want to hire. They do better work than anybody else. See, that ought to be our reputation. They don't murmur. They don't complain. They're not contentious. They don't give us back talk. We don't have problems with them. Everything runs smoothly. They get here before the time they're supposed to get here, and they leave after the time everybody else punches out. They're always responsible. They always have things in order. These are good people to work with. Because they're children of God. You see that? We ought to have that kind of relationship. They should be able to leave you with the store and walk out without worrying about locking up because God's children don't put their hand on something that doesn't belong to them. You understand? They'll treat it with even more respect because we're children of God. So we have a reputation, but God has a reputation. We're talking about our Father. So that brings us into view with the people that we know, and they should be able to look at us and say, if that's what a Christian is, I want to be one of those. That seems like something that ought to, that would be good to be, not something that's bad to be. I remember years ago hearing an illustration, so I can't remember if it was D.L. Moody or if it was Sam Jones or one of those old-time preachers so many years ago. But it was very common whenever they preached, they'd have auditoriums filled with people. And a lot of these guys had seedy backgrounds and things like that. It was not uncommon for drunks and so forth to be invited there. And so they would preach, and they would preach in an extended meeting, and lots of people would get saved. And so on this one occasion, whichever one it was, Moody or the other, they went to this town and preached, and so a lot of people got saved, and then he left. And 5 years later, he came back to hold another meeting. And a guy came up to him as he was coming from his hotel to the auditorium, kind of bleary-eyed, drunk, and smell of alcohol on his breath. And he said, I just want you to know something, preacher. You were here 5 years ago, and I just want you to know something. I'm one of your converts. And the preacher looked at him and said, you look like one of my converts. You know, you need to be God's convert, right? So we got a reputation. People expect something of us, and rightly so, if we're talking about God, our Father. Yeah, there's a reputation that we're held to a little bit higher standard, but rightly so, because we serve a God that's higher than anything else in the universe and anyone else in the universe. That's God, our Father. And that means something. And it means something to him. It ought to mean something to us. And I pray by hearing this today that we'll take this relationship for what it is and enjoy all of the benefits and responsibilities, giving reverence to the God of the universe and holding him in good reputation among those before whom we live. Amen. Father, we're very thankful tonight for the opportunity to be able to open the Scripture. We're very thankful for what it means to be a child of God. How thankful we are that you saved our souls. I just the longer that I thank you for that, I can't get over how good you are to your children and how good you've been to us. You really do care. You really do provide. You really do protect. You're just awesome. Amazing. Wonderful. And I pray tonight, Father, that we'll hold you in the high esteem that you deserve for all the wonder that you are. And we help us to do this by the presence of your Holy Spirit in us, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.